Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
How exciting is this?
With Waitrose.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Up and at 'em, come on, things to do. Don't cheer, you'll just embarrass yourselves. We're not bored of it yet, so it's lovely. There's no stopping 'em. No stopping 'em.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
Oh, there's nothing nicer, is there? Nothing nicer.
With Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
I mean, what's not to like?
Saturday and Sunday from 9:30.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Passes over to you.
You'll know our next guest from your radio, your telly, your favourite podcast, the Tesco ad, and now once again from your bookshelf. Her latest book, Little Things, is out now. And when it comes to wellness, we still have lots to learn, so we yearn for the return of Fern Cotton.
Yeah, good morning, Fern. How are you?
I love that I'm known for the Tesco ad.
Well, you are. I said that last time you came on.
No.
But you really are, because it's everywhere. They're very good, by the way.
Not I love it, doing them. Yeah, I love doing them.
How many have you done, do you think?
I don't know. I do them like every week.
Nice. Do you do them from home?
Yeah.
Cool. It's literally the best job in the world. And perfect for a hermit, which you confess to being. There's Kermit the Frog and there's Hermit the Fern. Isn't
that? Fermit the Hermit.
Yeah.
That is me. I love being at home. Yeah. I love being at home.
And sometimes you have to consciously punch your way out of your own paper bag to get out there, don't you?
I do. And I do realise sometimes that I need to push through like discomfort boundaries and do something different. But I think, you know, all of us sat here now, and there'll be many people listening to this, have very social jobs and we talk a lot to people. And
too much.
I need to retreat and be in solitude, which is also quite hard in my house, but at least I'm home. So yeah, I need that balance.
Yeah, footballers don't play football all day.
No.
They? Kids do, but footballers don't. There's an irony there somewhere.
I think so.
Little Things, Fern Cotton. Fern is so good at writing books that if you go to Foyles and you go to the fifth floor to the help and self-improvement and mindfulness section, she has her own section, everybody. And Little Things is about to add to that. So move up, whoever is next to you on the bookshelves. Who would be next to you?
I don't know.
Cotton.
Oh,
Deepak Chopra. He'd have to move over.
No,
he gets the mention, doesn't
he? Deepak more room. He needs all the shelf space. He's the best.
Yeah, you podcasted with him. So the book is wonderful. It's a book full of thoughts, little things that could help in a very sort of tiny habits, sort of atomic habits kind of way, but a softer, gentler offering than those, I would say. Also, there's the A-team. You know, there's the A-team, there's Hannibal and his mates. You've got the S-team, you've got the stress team that you've talked to, haven't you? You've got your mates on board.
Yeah.
So you've got your actual mates IRL, you've got professional mates that have been on the podcast. So straight off the bat, a couple of your friends get a mention. Is it Abby?
Abby, wonderful Abby. Yeah, she's one of my friends and neighbours, and she's got a beautiful family. She's got twins, and one of her twins has cerebral palsy. And of course, there are many studies and stats that show that parents of children with disabilities have the most sort of prolonged stress. And she gives some brilliant coping tools that she uses to deal with the, you know, just daily stress of having a very busy family and hospital appointments and everything that she has to go through. So I was so grateful for the interviews in this book.
Yeah, and it also gave you this reason not only to recount podcast conversations that you had and transcribe those and print the highlights of those in the book, which are supremely helpful from absolute experts, but to talk to your mates who you've been with for much of your life about something that you... And you're happy to talk about this kind of stuff,
but you hadn't broached
these particular boundaries.
No, I think sometimes you sort of bypass the obvious with friends, don't you?
And
you
don't say. Fran was the other one.
Oh yeah, Fran. So Fran's one of my oldest friends. We've been friends since we were five.
Yeah.
And Fran is an air steward, and obviously when you have a public facing role like that, and you're dealing with customers and travellers,
expectations.
Yeah, and you end up being the brunt of someone's bad journey.
Yeah.
And Fran's got some again really good coping tools that she uses to deal with that and to kind of leave work behind her at the end of the day and let things go. So yeah, each interview is very valuable.
I have a friend who stores up his stress until he goes on holiday so he can just vent it at the airport to anybody and everyone that he comes across. Yeah, he literally, he sees
Don't
an airport.
Go on holiday with him.
No, I did once. It was awful. I went, wait a minute, nothing's going wrong here. And he was like, I didn't recognise him. I thought, oh, and he's like, this is what he does. He stores it up all year. He's the nicest guy in the world when he's not in an airport.
No, that's not great. I mean, by all means, I guess it'll store it up and then let it out by like, punching a pillow or screaming
not a
into
person, metaphorically
the forest, or but not on other people.
You asked straight off the bat, this book, by the way, Little Things, Fern Con, is what we're talking about. Straight off the bat, you asked the difference between stress and anxiety. Some people think there is a difference. Some people think there isn't a difference. But your first guest who you
Judd
talked
Brewer,
to, Dr.
Yeah.
Jude. Dr. Judd, says, yes, stress is more in the moment. Anxiety is sort of future-based.
Yeah, and there's not a clear participant with anxiety, whereas there usually is with stress. So we can usually pinpoint a cause with stress and say, this is stressing me out. Whereas with anxiety, it can be quite ambiguous and you can't quite pinpoint it. Or you think you can, but actually it's probably a whole host of reasons you're feeling anxious.
So the different chapters cope with different aspects of stress, and then at the end of each little section, there's the little things section, because the book is called Little Things. Little Things to Help with Overwhelm. You have this chapter on these sort of section on overwhelm. Not so much chapters, which is good, because they're not as big. They're not mountains to get through.
No, I didn't want any of it to be, because, look, everyone's stressed. Everyone's had extremely stressful situations happen in their lives, and all of us are dealing with just micro sort of stress throughout the day.
Yeah.
So all of it's got to be manageable and small, and I'm not coming from a point of view where I've nailed this. I am often extremely stressed, and sometimes I really fly off the handles, and I'm a hothead, and I don't deal with things well. So I needed to write this book. I nearly bailed halfway through the writing of it because it felt... I started feeling really stressed about writing this stress book. And I was
like, you would, wouldn't you?
This can't be right. But that actually allowed me to be much more curious about what my triggers were. You know, you have to go back to childhood to some extent, where how you were modelled coping with stress, how you react to it versus respond to it. And that's quite difficult at times and can be quite humbling, because you've got to also look at how much autonomy you have over it. Like, yes, there are things that are plain stressful and there's no getting around that, but I think all of us have a little bit more agency over how much stress we're letting in and how we're coping with it. And none of us want to necessarily look at that, because we just want to
It's the creeping stress. I mean, you know, if you have these big stressful situations like illness or financial risk, of course they're stressful, but you're sort of brought up expecting those to be stressful. Your mum gets a look, and you have a big chat to your mum in the book.
I do, because my mum had polymyalgia, which is a very uncomfortable
so glad you said that.
Have.
I was rehearsing that word all last night in case I had to ask you.
My mum used to call it Polly's playing up. So it's very painful inflammatory disorder. And my mum's pretty aware that that was brought on by stress. And my mum had very sort of prolonged stress for a long period of life, probably from childhood, actually, and a lot of it undealt with. And she's now got to a point where she's not on steroids anymore. She's pretty much pain-free. Her mobility's really, really good. And she's changed a few things in her lifestyle again, little things, like made some tweaks and lowered her stress, but also looked at how she manages it. And she's in great shape. So it was really interesting talking to her about that, because she went through like 5-6 years of, you know, horrible pain and discomfort.
Yeah. It's funny that you talk about the fact you're stressed and you're a hothead. I've known you for ages now, years and years. It's a real pleasure to know you, by the way.
Oh, and you.
And I've never seen you like that. And funny because, no, clearly you are. And I'm not saying I don't believe you. This whole stress book is a load of nonsense. I completely believe you. But what's testament to the work that you've put in is that I haven't seen you like that. So you feel like that a lot, and you are like that a lot, and that's how you get up and you exist. But because you put the work in, it's okay for the rest of us. You're taking the burden of your stress off the rest of us, and that's what we should all be doing.
Well, look, I hope so. I think, you know, sometimes, yes, there's certainly been moments where, like coming here today, I didn't have any anxiety and I feel really calm on air. But there was a period, say, 3 years ago, where I was in the thick of panic attacks and the thick of anxiety, and I probably came on this show in that state, and I managed to look relatively calm to everybody, but inside I was freaking out And I was freaking out before. I probably hadn't slept. And then I would stress and replay everything that I'd said for about 4 hours afterwards.
That's the worst.
So I've got to a very good place with that in ways. I still wouldn't feel comfortable presenting a live TV show, which is so weird. I've done that with you without any stress. But because of certain situations and periods of panic, I still wouldn't want to put myself in that position. Yeah. So that might be in the future.
I don't want to
at the moment. But maybe in the future, there's more choice around that if I keep doing the work. But there are still situations where it could be tiny things, like I'm late on the school run, like micro stresses where I can feel that stress building. At some point, you know, I'll snap and it could be at my poor husband, or it might just be, you know, I'm not dealing with things well and I abandon the projects I'm working on. It will come out in other ways. There are some parts of my life.
You set fire to it in a way.
So I think, but then I'm also pretty aware that if, you know, I go for a run, or if I, you know, do a workout, or I get it physically out
of me,
the
body,
it'll be better.
Get it into the physical so it can come out of the physical. And the thing about feeling stress and having a sense of it building up, well, that's the beginning of the end in a way, because the fact you are feeling it as opposed to it just happening and you're not even feeling it, it's like the tremors of an earthquake before the earthquake happens. And then the next, you know all this, the next sort of mile along that road is being aware of it as it's happening. So you're no longer feeling it, you're aware of the fact you're feeling it. And then you're aware of the fact that you could be aware that you might feel this stress going into a certain point, and that's when you already, just the recognition of that moment in your life and that recurring situation that happens all the time, every day, don't hope it doesn't happen, expect it to happen, that's when you can give yourself permission to breathe again. And it, not that you've done anything about it other than begin to recognise it. You've opened the curtains and you can see the view and you know what it looks like.
Totally. I think awareness stops it going into chronic stress.
Yeah.
I think when we're not aware, that's where we normalise it and we're just like, well, this is how I feel all the time, every day.
Yeah.
And then chronic stress, as my mum talks about in the book, can turn physical very, very quickly.
And it could
be in a small way. Like I was talking to you guys before, I had a sty in my eye over Christmas and I'm pretty sure I pushed myself way too much at the end of the year. And I was stressed and I wasn't looking at it. I was pushing through, no rest, must do more. And then I had this huge bug eye for about a month. And it will come out. It will come out physically.
I spar with my little sty.
Exactly.
My rather huge...
A load of stress.
swollen eye. Often we'd... It's very helpful to zoom out. It's very helpful to zoom out and to get ahead of issues as they're, you know, they're going to come your way, and perhaps they won't come your way, but at least you're ready for them. You've positioned yourself right. They say an idiot in the right position can look like a genius, and a genius in the wrong position can look like an idiot. And one way to do this is to zoom out to 10,000 feet, but you zoom out a lot further than that.
Oh, yes.
I love that bit. I was like, oh, I might zoom out a little bit more.
Keep zooming out until...
How far do you go?
Until planet Earth is just in a mass of other little bright dots.
Yeah.
Like, keep going and keep going. I think we forget that we're sat on a floating ball in infinite space, and that one always helps me out. Like, I am just a speck of nothingness on another speck of nothingness in infinite space.
Yeah.
That helps.
Doesn't mean you're nothing.
Doesn't mean you're nothing.
Because you are everything and nothing.
Completely. That's a wonderful paradox to put to us, because we are. And if we can get that perspective, I think all the micro stresses of I'm late, I messed up, I shouldn't have said that thing I said, which we all do. I think we assume that we're the only ones. We all make these little mistakes throughout the day and we all get stressed about these tiny things. They slowly dissipate if we can just zoom out a little
bit. But also, if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, and we're going to keep making mistakes.
Get up in the morning, get ready to make a load more mistakes, then go to bed at night and do the same again tomorrow.
Correct.
You know, rinse and repeat.
Yes.
So Bradley Wiggins has been on your podcast, The Happy Place Podcast. I haven't heard that episode. Reading this book makes me want to listen to it. And just talking about it now has given me goosebumps. I can't wait to hear that. So Bradley retired from being as good at cycling, or his particular flavour of cycling, than anybody's ever been before, to protect his mental health. So he did recognise it. He knew what was going on. I've read his book, his own book. He was due to come on our show to talk about it, and cancelled at the last minute, which I think was, I don't know, by the way, I don't know. I think was the beginning of his acceptance that he needs to make a major change.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, because when he came on the podcast, he was actually about an hour late, which I thought was interesting in itself, that I think he was anticipating what we were going to talk about. And it was so brilliant. I was so grateful of how honest he was, because he wasn't coming from the point of view of I've done all the work and now I'm really healed. He was in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And he was so brilliantly vulnerable, which I think is really important in terms of the male context of talking about mental health.
Yeah.
And he just laid it all out on the table as to where he was at. And it was one of the most powerful podcasts. I was so in the moment, just transfixed. I barely speak in that episode. Right. It was just handing over to Bradley to let him tell his story. So that one felt like a particular honour. It wasn't long ago, maybe less than a year ago.
How is he, do you think?
I don't know. I think he's just doing the work. And, you know, he's got the awareness that certain things don't work for him, which is a huge part of
it. Well, you know, being aware, I mean, it's more than half the battle.
It is.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all fascinated by your fag-free fag breaks.
Yep.
Tell us about those.
Well, I don't smoke and I don't advocate it, but I think the joy for smokers is you get to walk out of your place of work or your home and have 5 minutes outside. And none of us do that unless we smoke. So when I'm working at home, it could be writing or recording something, I just try and take myself outside without my phone. And that's the other good thing about smoking, which is there's no other good bit, but, you know, you're using a hand to do something, so
I've
you're not on your phone.
I've got a third good bit. I can give you a third good bit. No, carry on. I'll add to this in a minute.
You're not on your phone, and you're just looking around. I always look at smokers and think, I'm quite jealous that you get to do that. So you just go outside, do 5 minutes of, like, having some deep breaths and looking about and shivering and thinking, God, why am I having a fag in the cold? But you're not smoking. And that's just a little moment's break in what would otherwise be a relentless day of just tasks that you're ticking off a list.
So a lot of people, when they get itchy and they're smokers and they go nip outside, this building is a testament to that. It's usually every 90 minutes, which is the end of your circadian rhythm. And it's when you're working away and you're writing or it's usually mental work, to be honest. And when you're doing some kind of knowledge work or I don't know, writing stuff down or reading or whatever it may be, organising, every 90 minutes, you'll get a lull in your focus, your concentration. And it's because it's the end of your circadian rhythm. And you are useless at that point. And that's when people who don't smoke go and make a cup of tea or go and have a chat or have a chocky bicky. That's when temptation creeps in.
Yeah.
Because you know you're not at your... You know... You don't know you know, but you know that you're not at your best. You think, this is all pointless at the moment. And that's when people tend to nip out for a fag. That wasn't my third accessorization to what will now be a holy trinity of if smoking wasn't bad for you and kills you might be good for you.
Yeah.
The actual third one is because when you smoke, you automatically take a deep inhale.
Yes.
Which is what you're taught to do in meditation. So you go, especially on the first drag of a fag. It's these long inhales and exhales. So it is vicarious meditation that also unfortunately happens to kill you.
Yeah. So do it without the fag.
Just do it without the fag. The fag is brilliant.
Isn't it funny that was something that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it was completely accepted and nobody questioned. And it was like, I'm just popping outside for a cigarette break and everybody would allow you to do that. And if you could rebrand that as like, I'm popping outside for a mindful
circadian rhythm break.
And, you know, because if you said to people, I need to take 5 minutes, people might they need to take five.
Yeah. Oh, God, what's going on?
Oh, is there something going on?
Yeah.
Whereas if they said, I'm going out for a fag, go, all right, see you in five.
Yeah.
Mad.
And it still happens here, doesn't it? And the thing about it, it's the distraction issue with the workplace, because once you stop a task, it's so difficult to start. That's why they say, if you look at an email, one email, if you allow yourself an email look, you know, every 15 minutes, or say every half an hour, if you look at one email, it apparently takes you half an hour to recover from that one email, regardless of what it says, because it's interrupted your flow. And so you might as well look at 20. That's what they say. So you much, you know, like batching in life. You do think about batching, batch cooking, batch thinking, you know, batch everything. Why the heck not? We had Deliciously Ella on last week, who was brilliant.
I love Ella.
Yeah, and she says, cook once, eat twice.
Oh, I love her new book. I've already cooked loads from it.
Yeah, we did it. She brought all the stuff.
Made the cookies, made the cauliflower curry at the weekend.
It's the best ever.
Dream.
Best ever. Laughing and smiling. They say that let food be thy medicine. They said that, of course. But also laughter is an amazing tonic. It is also a real sign of good mental health.
Yeah, I think if you can turn some, doesn't have to be like huge adversities, but moments of perhaps like extreme embarrassment into something funny. Or sometimes you
crack
can
a smile.
Need, yeah, you can turn things that feel really icky to look at into something quite funny.
Yeah.
Not all things, because obviously some things are just plain awful, but there are situations I can think back to that I was so embarrassed about. Like I say in the book, there was an episode, I'm cringing saying this, there was an episode of my podcast a few years ago where I called one of the guests the slightly wrong name for about half an hour. Then I twigged that I'd got the wrong name. And I don't know how. This is so unlike me because I'm so prepped. I'm so researched.
Yeah.
The podcast was on Zoom. I hate Zoom. It was at about 8 o'clock at night. Cognitively, that's not my time for brilliance.
It's nobody's time. Really.
I was all over the shop. And I, for months, beat myself up about this. And now I can talk about it in a jovial way with levity and laugh.
Just about.
My fingers clench into my own palms.
Oh, so you sort of blinked nervously then as you said it.
Flinching, talking about it. But I think you can do that a little more often. And usually it's telling someone else the story and they laugh and then they share a story and they laugh about one of their mishaps. That takes the heat and the spike out of those situations and the stress.
There was a guy who was giving this lecture on, I can't remember what it was, but it was to the US military, and it was about like life hacks and this, that, and the other. And he was a very young professor, totally qualified, but he's literally in front of all these crusty, rusty, concrete-hearted generals. He gets up there to speak to them about life coaching, and they just don't want to hear him. And so he starts off. He says, "Look, I may look about 12." Okay. And that didn't work because vulnerability is your superpower. Yeah. Brené Brown, you know, all this kind
that
of stuff.
That didn't work.
And you thought, oh, that's not worked. And there was just silence. And then one of the generals smiled and said, well, maybe 13. And then everybody laughed and he's okay.
So we're in.
For vulnerability slash humour.
Yeah.
You've got this going on today. Vasis is giving a talk today later.
Are you?
What's your three tenets of your talk?
We have dedication, drive and determination.
Ooh, yeah. 3 Ds.
Yeah.
Any tips for him talking today?
Oh, you know what you're doing. Just do it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Just be you. You do it all the time.
It could be your third D. Just do it. What is
just
it?
Just do
on.
It.
Add it on.
Dedication, drive, determination. Just do it.
Yeah. Come on. Perfect.
Quickest talk ever.
Good slogan.
I think the only thing that stands in our way.
Just do it. Good slogan.
The only thing that stands in our way with any of this stuff is the horrible little acerbic voice in our own heads. No one else is thinking all these awful things about us.
Nobody
or judging
cares.
Us. No one cares.
Thinking about us at all.
No one cares.
Do you know that great phrase? It's none of my business what other people think about me.
Yeah. It's the best. We've had to learn that one. We've had to learn it. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to boot camp for that one, didn't we?
We sure did.
We went to hell week for that one.
We went to hell. It's still awful.
Tell us about your anti-stress food cupboard. I love your anti-stress food.
Yeah, there are a few foods that obviously do things that can help us in many ways. I mean, I am plant-based, so there's lots of goodness there. Ella would have talked about this last week, eating lots of, you know, protein-rich foods like chickpeas and pulses and all that old-fashioned, boring, but lovely stuff. So I think, you know, reducing sugar and caffeine, all the obvious things are always going to help with stress. And just being mindful of some people when they're very stressed will not eat at all. And that, you know, might lead to a huge sort of blood sugar crash. Or my tendency is to eat a lot of sugary snacks. So if I'm feeling stressed, I'm comfort eating. I'm grabbing biscuits and I'm needing sugary things. And again, goes back to awareness of just going, this probably isn't going to work for me. I'm going to feel even worse after I've done this. So again, it always just goes back to that awareness of why you're doing it.
Yeah. So if you can do things that are good for you, but are hard, and you can build in reward systems into the moment, you've got to build into things that are bad for you, habits that have bad habit energy. You've got to build in barbed wire.
Yeah,
in the moment, haven't you?
Yeah. So Judd Brewer, who I interview, he's a habit expert. So he talks about the feeling like the crest of a wave, where you, like, he deals with a lot of people that do smoke, and they have that feeling of I can't cope unless I have a cigarette right this second. that feeling will dissipate. It does for anything. If you've got an urge to look at your phone, to have another glass of wine, to online shop when you don't need to.
More food.
We have that feeling. And then that crest just slightly dissipates and dips again. But we don't give it the chance. We are impulsive in that moment. So he does a whole brilliant section on habits. And when we're stressed, we absolutely go for our bad habit. That's the first thing that all of us do, because it's easy.
And when we haven't really got to grips with even admitting to ourselves that we have a bad habit, the next bad habit energy is on a straight road, a sort of autobahn, a speed limitless autobahn that we're already on. Then when you get a sense of it, there's a little kink in that road, but there's still no turning. Then there's a sharper bend as the habit energy changes and it gets worse for you. So you're cruising, think life's under control, and then there's a sort of sharper bend in the road, but there's still no alternative to being on that road. And then you come to a T-junction and you can pause, but you still turn the wrong way. Then you come to a T-junction and you stop and you don't turn at all, and then you turn left instead of right. And if you can turn left instead of right, that gets you off the crest of the wave.
Yeah, so he talks about, don't set long-term goals. Like, I'm never going to do that thing again.
Yeah.
Because none of us stick to that. We just think, well, what's the point? What is the actual goal here? Whereas if we just work daily and in the moment of riding that wave, you then notice, oh, I haven't smoked or online shopped or
and
gambled
I feel
or whatever for
better.
A week, and I feel better. And it's noticing the reward system in that. It's genius.
Crazy,
oh, it's not me. It was Judd. Honestly, I'm
just copying
what he said.
No, but you're the conduit, and he won't mind you saying that. He won't mind me saying that. You're the conduit. You know, for the to get salt on your fish and chips, it's got to be in the cellar.
Well, I need to learn this stuff. You know, I'm seeking it.
Keep your cellars in the cellar. we're almost out of time. I love the open and close theory, which I'd forgotten about.
Because
the reason all these things are called practices is because if you forget to do them for a second, you can then forget to do them for a year.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad? Yeah. If you can meditate every day, if you meditate like, or whatever you do, I know I say meditate too often, but if I meditate at 6 o'clock every day, and 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day. The reason you set it and forget it is because if you don't and you forget it once because you haven't set it, you can literally go for a year without remembering, because that's how sort of, that's in a way, if you can enhance that, harness that, that's our superpower.
Yeah.
But it can also be detrimental to our well-being if we forget that we are that haphazard in what we think is the most organised of lives.
All of us are. We're all the same. We all lean on bad habits. We all can't be bothered at times. We've all got to put...
We can't be bothered when we can be bothered.
I know.
That's the worst one. You know, I'm trying to be really bothered. Oh, but I forgot for a second. And then you look like somebody who really can't be bothered ever.
Yeah, we're all on... It's a thin veneer.
Anyway, the open and close thing. So I forgot about the open... I used to live by the open and close thing, and I forgot about it, so I read your book.
Yeah.
So if things are going well in the conversation, at the gym, you know, at the sweet shop, on the bus, in bed, asleep, having... About any second of any day, of any month or year of your life, then your heart and you are open, and then the second you feel at all antagonistic or anxious about anything or uncomfortable, it immediately closes and there's no in between.
Nope.
We're totally open now, you and I. We're open now today. Sometimes we're not during links. Sometimes we go close up, and then we've got to, one of us has got to open again, or, you know, but just explain the open and close theory from your point of view and how people can deploy it now.
Well, often when we're stressed, it's because we are extremely closed, and we're all bespoke in that way. So for me, to feel really open, it might involve being out in nature, like a very obvious one. But, you know, seeing a very beautiful scene in nature, seeing a sunrise, or it could be I've got a new little kitten, so playing with little Frank.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
So in love with him. He's a rescue kitten. I feel extremely open when I'm playing with little Frank and I'm in the moment. Frank, and we've got another cat called Simon. But that is a good example of me feeling very open. Or when I'm writing, I'm really open and I feel really, it's a sense of feeling very alive and very in tune. And then we all know the moments where we feel very, very closed. So for me, it's probably, you know, scrolling on social media too long, or someone being rude out of the blue that I wasn't expecting, or seeing injustice somewhere. I close up and it's a physical tension, it's a mental tension, and it's stress at the end of the day. So I sort of give a little page there where you can write down, just notice in your day, things that made you feel very open and alive and connected, and things that make you feel very closed and small and tense. And I think, again, going back to awareness, noticing those things gives us a bit more autonomy over, oh, I'll probably do that more. Like today after this, I hope to squeeze in going for a nice walk in the park before I crack on with the rest of my day. Having that openness. And those little moments, they really count. I think they add up.
Well, as I say, there is the world famous Atomic Habits by James Clear. And then there's BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits, which, to be honest, Atomic Habits was sort of born out of. Because do you know that James Clear used to be a student of BJ Fogg's?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then there's Fern's Little Things, which I think is a lovely bedfellow to those two books. It's beautiful. A positive toolkit for when life feels stressful. They're going to have to get a bigger shelf at Foyles for Fern's books. Fern's section, if you'll forgive
the phrase.
I've got
fiction coming out in June, so that'll be a whole other area that I'm going to be in.
Fiction?
I'm so excited. I've been working on it for about 2.5 years.
No, when you were stressed, fiction's really hard to write.
Oh, it's been pure... That's been open.
What
so
is it?
Much
what
joy.
Is it? Is it a thriller? Is it?
No, it's like a strange fantasy tale with sort of a underlying moral story going on. It's called Scripted. I am buzzed about
what,
it.
Is it young adult? Is it grown-ups? Is
grown
it?
Up. Yeah. Grown-up book.
Oh, I love books.
Because even Fern Cotton's right. a grown-up nowadays, everybody.
Actual, in the thick of my 40s, everyone.
By the way, Nona Frades, she's worked with the loads. Still, always taller than I think she is.
Really?
Yeah, always.
I've got
you
my
walk
boots
in.
On.
Yeah, I know you've got your heels on it, but you walk in and go, I always forget how tall she is. Even at the festivals we do and all this kind of thing. Why do I always think that? But
Everyone's always small in real life, aren't they? Like pop stars, you go, oh my God, they're tiny.
Some are, some. Yeah. James Blunt is.
Specifically.
Who I love to death, and he's doing Gig in the Garden for us this year. So, well done. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank
from
you.
The almost taller than you think, Fern Cotton. Have you seen Saltburn?
No, but me and my husband are desperate. Do you know what? Because my kids are going to bed so late these days, by the time they're in bed, I'm too tired.
Exactly.
I go to bed straight after them.
No, they put, well, honestly, I'm not being cute. My kids put me in bed all the time, even now on Fridays and Saturdays, and I love it.
Yeah.
They can't quite cope with it. In fact, we were watching Memento last week. Tash and I have a movie club now. We watch half the movie on a Friday and half of it on a Saturday.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. No point in clinging on.
No.
There's lost energy in clinging on, everyone. And we were watching Memento, which was so good. We stayed with it till 10:40 p.m. on
that
Saturday
so
night.
Late.
And Noah had to go to bed before us. And he thought that wasn't right all of a sudden. Anyway, Saltburn, you will not be disappointed.
I can't wait.
He won't watch it.
Why?
It's not for me.
Really? Why not?
Seems all a bit sort of twisted and dark.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Mm.
I can't wait. I'm here for it.
Yeah, we love it. I'm going to watch it again at the weekend, I think.
Do it.
Fern, thanks.
Thank you. I love coming on this show.
We love having you on
what
the show.
What joy.
It's always a yes.
What's that?
This is for my throat. It's a bong.
Oh, wow.
No, it's a bong. It's Dr. Nelson's inhaler, but everybody says, all is right. that a bong? You do drugs on the show.
I hope not.
No, I'm just in steam water, that's it.
That's just a really beautiful looking one, though. It's you can get them all sizes. And...
Not all shapes, they're all this shape. Mm. And he's been going since...
Well, I think you're tipping water all over your desk.
Oh, God, I am. Oh, no, I am.
Oh, no, I feel responsible
I'm
for
literally
that.
Pouring cold water on the show. Actually, it's warm.
Oh, no.
Because the show couldn't be any hotter.
Is it going to blow up, that desk?
Probably. Improving the directions for you.
Stop tipping it.
What?
Stop
what?
Tipping it.
I did it again.
Yes.
Did it again.
Can someone bring a tea towel?
No, it's
in?
All going so well. All right, hang on a minute. It was meant to happen. Happen. This is Tilly, by the way. Tilly Fern, Fern Tilly.
We've already met. Hello again, darling.
Hazel says, hooray for the non-fag breaker. Used to light a cigarette and walk around with it in my hand. Pontificating, gesticulating. When I worked in a pub in the 90s, gave me a break with no one bugging me. I never took a single drag as I've never smoked.
Love that.
Michael says, hi, Chris. It's so great to listen to Fern this morning. Oh, what about the rest of the show?
Mm.
We did 3 hours before she pitched up to
I'm so
steal.
Sorry.
Anyway, Michael says, there is a very big difference between anxiety and stress, and it's fantastic to hear it being explained by someone else. I too am in the process of writing a book about my experiences and find it so therapeutic. Love the show and the energy it sends out. Colm says, first time WhatsApper, here we go.
WhatsApp!
Love listening to Fern. I listen to every Happy Place podcast that she's ever done, and she's helped me immensely while going through a very difficult time. Have a great day, everyone.
Oh, that's made
they
my
love
day.
You.
That's made my day.
Do you know why
text?
They love you? Because you're very easy to love, Fern Cotton. Because you're good for this world.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Hi.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.